Thank you so much, Pastor Nigel. So good to be here and being back in Fremantle again. I think I was here 10 months ago, and looking in my diary, it was a phenomenal time being with you 10 months ago. Kathy and I have just come back from 15 nations. We've been away overseas around the world, and our last port of call was in Germany, C3 Hanau in Germany, where God is really moving. And just before that, we were in Jerusalem. And we went to church on the Sunday morning in the Anglican Church, the first Protestant church in the Middle East. And I think it's called Christ the King or Christ Church in Jerusalem. And it was an amazing time there. And the Lord gave me a word by one of the women in the congregation. I was just sitting there praying and waiting on God. And she came up to me. She said, "Would it be all right if I spoke a word over your life?" I said, "Absolutely. Why not have it?" And so she spoke this beautiful word over my life. And it really connected with my heart that God was going to put something extra on our lives. And when I came home, I began to wait on the Lord in prayer, spent 2 or 3 days, shut myself in and prayed and sought the Lord about ministry in the next few weeks. Because when we got home, I went straight to a church in Sydney called Awesome Church. What a great name, Awesome Church. Awesome pastors, awesome people, awesome church. He said, "Why start a church called C3? Why not start at A1 instead? Awesome One," you know. So had a phenomenal time there with the pastor. And prophesied over his life quite accurately. He rang me just, Friday. Rang me Friday and said, "Guess what?" He said, "You gave me some prophetic words during your time with us, and I just want to tell you they all fell flat." No, he didn't say that. He said, "I just want to tell you that the word of the Lord was correct and true." He said, "You prophesied that I would be in Jerusalem preaching with crowds of people." He said, "You wouldn't believe it. Benny Hinn has just contacted me, said he wants me to go to Jerusalem with him this Christmas and preach with him, and he's paying the airfare and the accommodation, all the food for both." Isn't that amazing? Amen. So when we dare to believe, I want you to stand just once more, and I want you to put your hand towards Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea and believe God for them today in Jesus' name. Let's just pray right now for their spiritual strength, their spiritual health, their life, their faith. Lift your voice right now, everybody, and just speak words of faith over their lives right now. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for their lives and their faith and their ministry here in this great house. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will strengthen them, release them, and refresh them, and that the power of God will be upon their lives. Thank you for the dedication to the call, for the commitment to the cause, and the life they live before this great congregation. We pray the abundance of every good thing upon them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Go ahead, guys, and speak a bit more over their lives right now for a moment or two. Prophesy if you can. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the glory right now. We give you the praise. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we give glory to you. Glory to you. And you might want to know that Pastor Andrea has had an accident, so I want you to lift your voice. She's really quite bruised at the moment and not well. So let's lift our voice and really pray. Come on. Come on, let's really pray right now. Seriously. Father, we lift our voices in the name of Jesus. We declare your anointing and your goodness over this couple. Thank you, Lord, that you're the healer and the deliverer. You're the one that brings victory to our world. You're the one that brings life, faith, and strength to us. And we give glory to you right now as you move in their lives and as you move in Pastor Andrea's life. We pray the abundance of blessing over them now. And everybody said, give them a great hand right now, will you? Give them a great hand. Hallelujah. Amen. And take your seat. Amen. And just tell the person next to you, "I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you this morning. So glad I'm sitting next to you." Fantastic. I want to bring you a word from Ephesians chapter 6. It's where my starting point is in this message this morning, Ephesians 6. I'm going to move fairly quickly because I want to finish before midnight if I can. and get the job done, and then we can all go home and have another day tomorrow. Amen? You know, the Sabbath is a gift for man. It's not the other way around. The Sabbath is a gift. We're here to have a day in His presence. The funny thing is, we rush away after an hour and say it with nothing to do. Isn't that strange? Amen? We say, I've got to get out of here because I've got nothing to do. But wouldn't it be great if we came to the house of God with this mentality? I'm here because I want to see God and hear God and know God and get my family and friends to know Him as well. Amen. So Ephesians 6 and 10 is where I'm beginning this morning. And this passage so clearly says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. He's not asking us to kind of do something in our own strength. He's not asking us to be something we're not. He's not declaring to us that there's a place for us to show off our strength and kind of intimidate everybody else. He's saying to us that there is a place in Christ where we can together in the house of the Lord grow up and be strong. Amen. Are you with me this morning? He says, be strong in the Lord. Recognizing this morning that our strength is not found in the years of our service. I'm coming up for 48 years as a believer. How about you? I've got two to go and I'm half a century as a Christian. I'm enjoying it, amen. I'm happy now as I was in 1963. I'm still joyful. I'm still bubbling inside. I'm still singing the old songs that most Pentecostals know nothing about, amen. Glory to God. You say, well, can't we sing the new ones? Yes, we can, but don't forget the old, amen. You know, the wonderful name of Jesus. And we were at a funeral the other day of Pastor Norm Armstrong, a 94-year-old patriarch of the faith, Oral Roberts' representative in Australia, preached Christ in the nations, saw thousands come to Christ. We had the most phenomenal Christ-upbuilding funeral. We had a Redeemer Baptist choir there, and they sang all the old hymns. Tears were running down the faces of all the pastors and the leaders and the people, because there's more to Christ than we realize. Amen. Tap your neighbor and say, I know what he's talking about. There's more to Christ than just a song. There's more to Christ. And he says in this passage, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And I believe what he's doing is he's saying to us that there's a place of divine enabling in our world that will allow us to live the Christian life, not out of our smarts, not out of who we are in, with our intelligence, but out of who he is in us. Amen. The Christ in us knows how to live the Christ life for us and with us. Can you shout amen this morning? And so he wants us to recognize there's a place of strength in Christ where we move to more strength in Christ and we move to more strength in Christ. And as we gather this stamina, we recognize he's got an abundance of strength for us to live our lives by each and every single day of our Christian experience. Amen. Most Christians have up and down days. Put your hand up if you have an up and down day now and then. They're not all up days, are they? How many of you have a down day now and then, or a down time now and then when the chocolate runs out? I saw a tweet by Pastor Rob Buckingham from Melbourne saying, a balanced diet is a bar of chocolate in each hand. And, you know, that's the way to stay balanced, one in each hand, you know. But, you know, we have ups and downs, but Christ doesn't. The amazing thing about this life he's talking about of being strong is it's a new ability that we didn't have before Christ. It's a new dimension to live and to walk and to have faith and to have joy and to be able to pray when others are not knowing what to do. We're believing God and trusting God together. Amen. Listen to me. If we recognize the strength of Christ, we can bear much fruit. So much fruit that it brings glory and honor and praise to his name. And at the end of our journey of being believers, whether it's 40, 50, or 70, or 100 years, the name of Jesus will be lifted higher in the earth because we followed Christ with all of our hearts. Are you with me this morning? And so he's saying to us that this is a place where we would bear much fruit because we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I'm going to tell you right now that 2012 is going to be your best year ever. Come on, amen. 2012 for you. Come on, give the Lord a hand if you wish. 2012 is going to be your greatest year ever. And I want to prophesy to you and tell you now that more people are going to come to Christ in Australia and New Zealand and the Pacific and around the world in 2012 than ever before in the history of the church. Amen. We are moving into a time where the church will bear much fruit, where people will come knocking on our door, if you like, to respond to what is going on with Christ in us. In a shaky world, people are looking for people of answers. And that's you, and that's me, and together, I believe we're going to see hundreds of new people. I want you to lift your hand to the Lord now. Hundreds of new people come to Christ in Fremantle in 2012. Lord, this is not our strength. This is not who we are. This is not what we are doing. This is what you, the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the church, is doing as you're raising up people like us to serve Christ, to love Christ, to live our lives for Christ, and to serve him with such faith and such joy that it becomes a testimony to those who are looking for the way of the Lord. We ask you this morning in Jesus' name for 2012 to be one of the greatest years we've ever had in Jesus' name. Somebody said, amen. Because of the time, I'm going to kind of shorten the message so I can say the key things to you. So you're just getting the nuts and bolts of the message this morning. Otherwise, it would take at least an hour to preach this message, and then we'd just have the introduction happening. Amen. But I want to tell you this. I've learned this after 48 years of being a believer, that whatever I'm facing personally, and we're all facing stuff, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's relational, sometimes it's marital, sometimes it's, you know, other things that are going on in our world. I've learned one thing. That before I'm in any kind of challenge, I'm in Christ first. I'm in Christ, amen. Before I'm in any difficulty, I'm in Christ. And when I'm in Christ, I'm in a place where his strength can become my strength, and I can live my life under his life, under his anointing, and under his life and joy and strength. And instead of me just walking in my own energy and then running out, I'm actually living an unending strength in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm actually developing a new ability to realize my strength comes from him. Amen. And so if I can receive that and I can recognize that and learn the application of this revelation that in Christ there's as much strength as I will ever, ever need. How many of you are married this morning? How many of you know you need strength in Christ to stay married? Amen. How many of you know that? Come on, nod if you know that, or so wave. If you don't want to wave because he's looking or she's looking or they might be looking or somebody might be thinking something, you know. Kathy and I this Christmas have been married 44 years, I think. Yeah, 44. Just checking up there. Amen. 44 years. You know, life will throw all kinds of stuff at us. And we become different people at different stages of our life for various reasons. We don't have time to go into them. But we need Christ if we're going to stay married. Because we live in a world where there's more unmarried who were married than married. And we need Christ's strength to get us there on the journey so that we can leave a testimony for our children and our children's children. Are you with me? Come on, give the Lord a hand about that. And so we've taught our people from the early days that whenever you're in any struggle, whenever you're in any challenge, whenever you're in any situation, we're in Christ first. We used to say to our people, before you're in China, you're in Christ. Before you're in Africa, you're in Christ. Before you're in Fremantle, you're in Christ. Tap your neighbor and say, you're in Christ. If we can recognize that this morning, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's the revelation of Christ. It's the time of recognizing his strength. In 1 John 2:14, he says, "You are strong because the word of God abides in you." You are strong as believers because you've taken time to open your Bible, like the carpenter's apprentice. You've taken time to open your Bible, and being a builder myself of many, many years, had no hesitation of opening the Bible on the job, sitting at the tea break or lunch with all of the men around us. "What are you doing?" was the common comment from our, "What are you doing reading that? Oh, you're not still reading that Bible, you wowsers, you bashers." And they'd carry on like this. But we have no intimidation in that situation because we know we are strong because the Word of God abides in us. And our life is developed in Christ, in the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we need to recognize, to lay hold of that, that's where our strength is coming from. Amen. So we draw our strength from him. We draw our joy and our faith from him. We lead a lifelong experience with him. And wherever we go, we've got not enough just to live on. We've got an abundance to live on. And we've got an abundance to give away as well, haven't we? We're not running short on what we've got because Christ is all sufficient. And he has an abundance of every good thing. And as we learn to live our lives in him, we have much to share with other people round about us so that they too can behold what we have in our world, in our life. When we were in Jerusalem, I went into the Muslim shops to play with the guys for a bit of fun. I used to get their broom and sweep around in their shop and sweep all the dirt out from the night before. And they'd say, "No, no, 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 don't touch the broom." And I'd say, "No, I'm here to work." And so I'd sweep the shop out and then I'd say to the guys, 10 shekels, please, an hour is what I need now." And they laugh at me. I say, "No, no, 10 shekels. You've got to pay me for the work I did." And of course, I was just bantering with them like Australians do. How many of you know? And all the other shopkeepers are coming round to see what's going on. What's going on in that shop? This crazy Aussie guy sweeping out the shop and asking for 10 shekels. And when they wouldn't give me 10 shekels for sweeping, I'd say, "Okay, 10 shekels off the price of anything I buy in your shop." He said, "No, no, 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 we already have 90% off. We already have 90% off everything." I said, "All right, then I'll Indian arm wrestle you, and if I win, I can take anything from your shop." He goes, "Okay, we'll do it." And then he gets to the table, and we put our arms together, and he said, "Oh, no, I've got a sore elbow, I can't do this." "Where are you from?" He knows where I'm from. He can hear my kangaroo accent. I said, "I'm from Australia." He said, "What are you here for?" I said, "I'm a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ." He's a Muslim owner. I know what he believes, but I know what I believe. I believe that Christ is the greatest. I believe that Christ is alive. I've been to the tomb. He's not there. Amen. I always believed it from the word, but when I saw it for myself, that the tomb was empty, that he was not there, amen, that he had risen, I recognize my life is hidden with Christ in God. And I'm an overcoming believer, and wherever I go in the world, I've got something to give away, and I can ask for 10 shekels as well and have no problem of it, amen. Give me 10 shekels, glory to God. And so I'm playing with these guys because we've got an abundance of every good thing in Christ. Put your hand on your heart and say, "I've got enough in Christ to live my life and to share plenty. I've got enough to live my life and to share plenty with others." And I want to tell you, I just want to give you a couple of keys for living this life in Christ. If you look with me at Jude verse 20, if you'll go there in your Bible, please, this morning, Jude verse 20, the book of Jude. You can't get lost here. There's only one verse. There's only one chapter, rather. And verse 20 is kind of down near the bottom. Let me read it out to you. I want to give you a couple of keys for leading your life in Christ. Number one, he says, "Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Let's read that out loud together this morning. Everybody reading. Whatever version of the Bible you have, let's read it out loud together. Here we go. But you, beloved, I want to tell you right now that when you recognize the power of this little verse and you recognize what he's saying, praying in the Spirit, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. I want to tell you this morning, your most holy faith is a person. It's not a principle. It's not a program. It's not a philosophy. It's not an idea. It's not a book of contents. When you're praying in the Holy Spirit and you're building yourself up, you're praying in the person of the Holy Spirit in the power of Christ. Amen. And if we could recognize this morning the content of what he's really saying is that when you learn to build yourself up in what you've already got, in what God has already done, in what already belongs to you. This is not some foreign place to you as a believer. This is not a strange dimension for a few people. This is general ABC Christian living for all of us as we recognize we can build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:13 and you'll see what will happen to you when you do that. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And we're going to read this out loud together again, if you can, with me this morning, church. Especially the carpenter's apprentice in the front row. You can't stand and read it on your own and then not read and join with it. You've got to be in it all or in none of it. Are you with me? All in or all out. Who's with me? Amen. Just helping him on the front row. Here we go, verse 13. And since we have the same, according to what is written, we also believe. Now, if you will learn to build yourself up in your most holy faith because Christ is in you, you will find your language has changed. You will find there's a different dimension in the way you speak to everything on every issue. Instead of you backing away, intimidated by the struggle and the challenge and life with all of its stuff, if you will build yourselves up in Christ, praying in the Spirit, and praying by your most holy faith, which is really praying by the power of the Holy Spirit, for the person of Christ to be released in you, you will find out that your language will change. And when you see a situation, like we saw this morning, for example, the language of your life is a language that is representative of the language of God Himself. Amen. The language of faith is not just some ordinary language. It's not just for a few select believers that live in America, because we have this idea that it's just the Americans that talk faith. Have you noticed that five-year-olds can get up and talk and preach for about an hour and a half if you're American? And if you're an Australian at five, you get up and you go, you cry and you go and sit down, don't you? But the Americans have got something on them. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you in Christ, building yourself up, praying in the Spirit regularly, not as a program, not as a suggestion or an idea, but as a revelation that the power of God will flow in your world when Christ is released by your prayer language, which changes your focus from all of the challenges you've got, and you start seeing and saying things in a different dimension. Amen. You start saying, we're going to get healed. We're going to have victory. We're going to overcome. Amen. We're going to be more than conquerors. We're going to have an abundance of all good things. When you start building yourself up, your language changes. But it starts out like this. And people look at you as though you're completely mad. And even yourself looks at you and you think, I sound a bit silly. I think I've lost it now. And you don't realize that you've begun a journey in the Spirit that will take you to a place where you can become such a talker of the language of heaven and the language of God that what you say by the Spirit, through the Spirit, actually brings a result in your world. Amen. You actually shift from being this difficulty world of negative stuff into an extreme joyful world of realizing it does work. It does work. My language has changed and I'm speaking like the ancients of old did. And when you read the way they spoke, you realize why they had so much power and so much dunamos and why they were so quickened, because they realized where their language was coming from. Just a little pause button there. Everybody press the pause button. Can Dr. Cho be wrong? Of course, he's human. But test the fruit. Because Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. Didn't he? Test the fruit. A man who started on the side of a mountain with a little canvas ex-army tent with wallpaper for newspaper, rather, for wallpaper to keep the cold out in the winter, and put it on the side of the hill so that when the winter snows and rains came, it would run down the hill and not leave him with a mess in the tent, but leave the mess going through the tent. And then all the people that needed miracles started coming, like you, my sister, this morning, started coming. He had believed this revelation of praying in the Spirit at least 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day. Test yourself on this. If you only talk in tongues like this at church, Shabba, 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 Yamaha, Suzuki, you're not there. You haven't even begun, I'm telling you. If you think, well, that'll put me over into the good glory land, no, it won't. That'll probably clog up your system, frustrate the entire life of your faith, and you'll finish up on the rocks going, it doesn't work. That Pastor Nigel, he said it worked, but it didn't. Because realize this, he puts up the tent, he prays in tongues at least 5 hours a day, and he begins to see miracles in the power of God. And 2012 is going to be your best year ever. You're going to see spiritual fruit coming in your world. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see the transfer of financial wealth coming into your hands. Everybody say new money. You're going to see stuff coming to you. Amen. Not from the hands of the enemy. Don't worry. The devil will never finance God's work. It'll come from those who actually have it and feel compelled to give it. Our friends in Mozambique, helping in the orphanage there with 500 orphans, have often had a phone call from America and somebody has said, I want to put $500,000 in your bank account. Would it be all right? How many of you know it would be quite all right if someone rang to put $500,000 in your bank account so that we could feed the orphans? God knows his work and his business. Dr. Cho, now 74 years of age, hands over the church with 800,000 members. No pressure. Just make it all look bad. Just make it difficult for the rest of us, Dr. Cho. But the fixation in his life was not numbers. The fixation in his life was not goals. The fixation in his life was the glory of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the miracles of God, and the salvation of the lost. Amen. His eyes were on bigger things. Amen. He wasn't looking purely at the numbers. He's looking at the God who fills the earth with himself. And he'd lock himself away in that little prayer grotto and not come out until God turned up. Wow. We've said enough to start your engine right now. But I want to say one more thing, can I? Have we got time? We have? Are you sure? Have we got time? Can you be patient for 5 minutes? Maybe 7? Look at Acts 6:4. Look at Acts 6:4 very quickly. Acts, and we're going to read this together out loud. The book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4. The keys for us to realizing the Christ life, the empowered life, the miracle life, the breakthrough life is definitely the revelation of Jesus inside of us. And then building up that revelation with the strength of Christ by our prayer life. And then in Acts 6 and 4, he gives this incredible insight into why things work the way they do. In Acts 6 and verse 4, let's read it out loud together. He says, but we will... We won't put your arm behind your back, Brian. Just come with me. Put your arm behind your back. This is not the way of Christ. You've got to serve the Lord. This is not the way of Christ. This is the way of guilt, which is the way of the adversary. He will impose more guilt on you. Thank you, bro. I didn't break your arm, did I? You're stronger than an ox, man. Nobody is putting your arm up your back. And nobody put their arm up the back of the early apostles. The reason of their faith and their conviction was many of them had seen the Lord. Many have been with the Lord. And many had seen the miracles of the Lord. And because of that, their revelation was it was about Christ. Are you with me? And because of that, they learned how to pray when he went to heaven. He said, I'll pour out the Holy Spirit. I'll give you another like me, the comforter, the counselor, the helper. And he'll help you to know me and to know my ways and to know my words and to know my wisdom and to rejoice in my salvation. He gave us Christ, but he gave us the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this morning? And then these guys said, you know what? We will give ourselves. What's that about? That's not about commanding. That's not about submission teaching. That's not about, you know, somebody putting a guilt trip on you. This is about you recognizing you've been given much. Christ gave you his life. Christ gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. He gave more than you could ever give. Are you with me? Amen. He gave you your salvation, your life, your destiny, your future, your miracles. He gave you that. And they said, because of this, we'll walk on water if we have to. We'll lay our lives down. They made a voluntary submission of their lives as the people of God, and they said, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer, everybody say it, prayer and the ministry of the word. Read your Bible as often as you can. Pray as often as you can. Don't let go of what you've been given. You've been given an immeasurable life and gift. Value it and don't ever take it for granted. And delight in what it is in other people as well. When I see the gift of Christ on Pastor Nigel, I go, I'm so glad that what he's got. I'm so glad that he's got what I've got. And together we've got the same God. Amen. We know him. And we know each other in him. And we delight in him and we delight in each other in him. And when we see each other filled with the Holy Spirit, we see the language has changed, we see the love has changed, and the willingness to lay our lives down has changed. Now it's not, there's a prayer meeting on. Will somebody please turn up? I beg you. I even beg you in Jesus' name, would you come? Now, it's not that anymore. It's now. You can't keep them away. They fill the house with the prayers and the dreams of the living God that they love and they serve. They came together in the upper room and they waited and waited. And they had no idea what they were waiting for because it wasn't yet written or recorded. We know differently. We have the revelation. As Christ filled them with his presence and with his power, they were empowered to live a be strong life. Are you with me? A be strong life. And then when prayer was ready, they came. So 3 weeks ago, I preached at A1 Church, awesome church, A1, in Sydney. And I preached something of this message, not the entirety and not this same thing, but some of it. And I preached Acts 6:4, that we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The pastor rang me, told me the result was immediately, Pastor Benny Hinn had asked him to go and preach in Jerusalem and said he would pay his airfare and accommodation for him and his wife. When we're strong, there will be more opportunities for us to do the work of the ministry than we can ever possibly imagine. If we're struggling just to get ourselves on our feet, don't expect the Lord to give us anything, because that would kill us. So too much responsibility and too much pressure when we're not strong on our feet. But when you're strong on your feet, be ready to go and preach to the nations. Kathy and I have been in 50 nations around the world. We've just been in 15 nations preaching with interrupters, I call them. They're not interpreters, they're interrupters. And we've seen God work miracles. We've seen him save souls. We've seen him build churches. We've seen him raise finances. We've seen the Lord bless businesses. We've seen him bless marriages. We've seen him put marriages together. We've seen impossible situations turned around because we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And I'll guarantee the highlight of this church next year is going to be Christ at the head and the people living in the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer being a normal part of our Christian life. Not a prayer meeting mentality. Let's come to pray. Amen. Let's come and pray. And instead of five people turning up, shock the living daylights out of Pastor Nigel. Come on, church. Shock him. Amen. Surprise him like he's never been surprised. Because if he comes to the prayer meeting and you all get there before him, hello, tap your neighbor and say, I think Pastor Andrew's talking to you now. And you get there before him. I had people at our church in Mount Annan. I could never beat them to a prayer meeting. If the prayer meeting was 5, they were there at 4:30, praying down the heavens, going, God in the name. And I go, I thought it was 5. They said, you're late, Pastor. I said, no, I couldn't be. 5. They started at 4:30 to surprise me in the house of God. Amen. No wonder we've got a great church there that's built 8 churches now and a great school and a great future, because the people willingly, in the day of his power, offered themselves in prayer and the ministry of the word. And wherever there's a group of people like you who will stand with your pastor, come hell or high water. It's snowing in Fremantle. We can't come to church. Well, put it on the record that you came anyway. Amen. Oh, it's pouring with rain. So what? It rains everywhere around the world. I preached in Nigeria one night and it started to rain. And I said to the pastor, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to pray. Everybody was in their best garb. They're all in their best suits, and the women in their hats. They make these creative hats. And the rain started pouring down. He said, we're praying till 6 in the morning. I said, Pastor, it's raining. He says, I'll ask the Lord if it's going to stop. So he went into his old Mercedes, got in the back seat and began to pray in tongues. 5 minutes later, he came out, he said, God said nothing. He said, so my word of wisdom is, let's just enjoy it and have a great night of prayer anyway. Amen. And they prayed till 6 a.m. the next morning, and they danced in their good clothes in the rain, and they called the fire of God down. And I baptized 90 people after the Sunday morning service. Power of God was on the place. The fire was in the house because people prayed willingly. Willingly. Tap your neighbor and say, willingly. Willingly. And guess what? The 17-year-old, you said you're 17. That's how old I was when I came to Christ, 17. I was a builder's laborer, and my boss was the pastor, and I called him Faster Pastor, because he picked me up before daylight and bring me home after dark every day. And all day long he'd shout, Faster! Faster! Go faster! Quick! We want more mud, more bricks! Faster! 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 And so I called him Faster Pastor. Man alive, could he pray in the Holy Ghost? We'd get on the job with all these unsaved guys and he'd say, okay, we're going to pray, everybody.
all the unsaved guys go, you know, their eyes go bigger than saucers, their mouth drops, their jaw falls off their face. The Christians are here. Do you think the Muslims are frightened of praying publicly? Look at Egypt, in the middle of the highest battles of the nation. The moment they bow down, the army, the police and the opposition, everybody stops throwing stones because everybody observes that prayer is a normality of life. And so the Bible says these Christians gave themselves willingly to prayer and the ministry of the word. Let's have our keyboard player come. Thank you so much. Let's give her a hand because we're all looking anyway. Just a padding sound, no music, no tune, just a like the angels singing. I'm sorry I haven't been able to give you everything I've got written here because there's a lot more. And this is not old stuff, this is right up to date. This woman gave me this word in Jerusalem. She said, God will give you a new manner. I'm as relaxed now as I've ever been. I'm 65, but I feel like 45. I think 45. I dress 45. Look at the zips on my jeans and the look at my shiny shoes. Pastor David Sumrall, I had breakfast with him at KL, and he said, "You got Singapore shoes on." I said, "Well, I don't care where they're from. I'm happy with them." Amen. I ride a motorbike. I drink coffee. I eat lots of chocolate. I'm happy. I'm married to a beautiful woman. I've got 4 married children. I've got 11 grandkids. I've got nothing to say bad about Christ. He's done everything good in my life. Lift your hand to him. Tell him he's been so good to me. To you. He's been so good to you. To every man, to every woman, to every boy and every girl, he's been so good to you. He laid it all down for me. He gave his finest for me. He took me from a desperate situation. I was bankrupt in my world. I had nothing to hope for. I had nothing to dream for. I had nothing to pray for. I didn't know how to pray. And then Christ came. Oh, think about it with me this morning, believers. Your world shifted when Christ came. Hope came to your world. You had hope. You began to believe. You were able to see things that you couldn't ever see before. The word says the pure in heart see God. You began to see God in a heavenly place on a throne. You began to see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the universe. Everything subject to him. You began to speak a different language, no longer the curses, the blasphemies, the bad language, but a new language, a language of faith, the spirit of faith. Faith is a person. It's not a principle. It's not a program. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He's faith. Everything that comes out of his word, out of his mouth, out of his life is uplifting, upbuilding. It's a blessing. It's beautiful, it's strong, it's gracious, it's kind, it's merciful, it's magnificent. Why don't you tell him you love him now? Tell him, go ahead, tell him 3 or 4 times, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord God. I love you with all my heart. Go ahead, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your voice. Don't be ashamed of others hearing your voice. Just worship from the bottom of your heart. God, you've been so good to me. I delight in what you've done in my life, and I delight in what you've done in my brothers and my sisters, my family here, the family of God. My Lord, I give you praise and glory. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, just begin to speak in the language of faith, the language of the Spirit. Build yourself up and become bolder and stronger, more enabled, more equipped, more empowered, ready for the new harvests, the new families that will come to this house. Get ready for the miracles that God will do on every side in men and women and boys and girls. Get ready. There are miracles coming to this church. It's going to be a church of miracles. We're going to see mighty works done here. We are not going to go back to the past because the past is finished, but we're going to go forward from the past with the miracles that we see in the Word, and we're going to believe Him in Jesus' name. Lift your voice just a little bit. Get the motor running. Get the faith running right now. Get the stream flowing. Get the river of almighty faith coming through your heart right now. Today we're building up. We're building up. We're getting strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're bold, we're strong, we're courageous. He says to Joshua, be strong, because where you're going, you're going to take cities and nations. You're going to minister across the earth and see the glory of God. I want you to stand before the Lord with me now, church. And if you can, I want you to raise both your hands to God strongly. Don't hold them down like wet fish. You know, sometimes people hold their hands in. Lift them up strong in the Lord and lift them up high under God. The Bible says lifting up holy hands to a holy God, to an awesome one. Oh God, we worship you right now. We bring our thanksgiving and our praises one right now. This is our family talking to our God right now. The Lord is listening to your heart. Go ahead and talk to Him. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Worship you, we worship you, we worship you. In 2012, in some of the worship services, people will be automatically healed. There'll be healings going on in the seats, nobody touching them. There'll be just manifestations of the power of God. People will come to our services, we won't even know their condition. And I have a sense that many of them are coming with migraines and blood sicknesses and conditions of the heart. Some of them are coming with liver conditions and all kinds of stuff that's going on in their world. And in the midst of the worshiping church, our God will begin to rule and reign a righteousness from above. Get excited in your heart about it. But be prayerful about it as well as we move toward this brand new time. Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And just before I pray for you, I want to tell you one more thing. I know I'm way over the 5 minutes now, I know, but you can ask me to come back in the millennium when there'll be more time to preach. How do you measure faith in your life? How do you measure it? I want to tell you this. If you give yourself to prayer and the Word, your faith will be built up with your prayers of faith. And listen to me, what's going to happen to you is the Word of the Lord is going to speak to you. God, that's God speaking to you. God will speak. He's never not speaking. He's going to speak to you. You say, God never talks to me. He will. Trust me. He'll speak to you. And when He speaks to you, the true measure of faith in your life is how quick you are to obey what He asks you to do. How quick you are to obey. Hey, I got to learn a lesson right there, amen, because He's been speaking to me for 48 years. And you know, sometimes we go into a mind battle of should I obey? Is it the will of God? What do you think, Pastor? I'll pray about it for 1,700 years and then I might get involved. No, when God speaks, He's looking for you to make a quick response to what He says. Are you with me? The world moves quickly, very quickly. There's an upheaval going on around the world, physically, financially, spiritually. There's a shaking in Europe. There's a shaking in the Middle East. You know, the earth, the glaciers, everything. Everything's moving at a high rate of knots right now. The peoples of the world are in confusion. And in the midst of this comes a strong church in the Lord. People who are ready to obey the Word as God speaks. Lift your hands again, church, if you can, please. I want to pray for you right now. Father, take this Word this morning, I pray. I pray it's been a blessing to somebody. I pray somebody's heard something this morning. I pray somebody will take hold of their destiny with both hands. I pray that right now that the young men and young women in this service this morning will grab this, lay hold of the reality of prayer and the Word, prayer and the Word. lay hold of this spirit and this anointing, this language of faith in Jesus' name. Because the greatest days of their lives and our lives are still just one step in front of us. So I'm asking you right now for every person, every parent, every grandparent, every mom, every dad, every single person in this house today right now, that we will lay hold of what we've heard. We'll begin to see it working in our world. In the name of Jesus. And I see some young men hearing the Lord and obeying Him. And I see you bringing a number of young men to the house of God through your obedience to Christ. Just your obedience. I see you bringing them because of your obedience to Christ. I see some young women here who will bring their friends because of your obedience to Christ. Amen. I see some people in this house that will bring some large offerings to Christ because of your obedience to Christ. Amen. No begging. This is not a house for beggars. It's a believer's house. Can you say amen? This is a house of freedom in Christ. I see some people rising up in faith and getting on with the calling that's on your life and getting it released. And I see us bearing much fruit in Jesus' name. In fact, I want you right now just to speak in tongues and believe and look for the fruit in your life in Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, I'm going to speak about the Holy Spirit next week. And I know many of you may have come from different backgrounds. And pray the life of God and give you more understanding next week. But wow. Thank you, Lord, for your presence right here, right now. And I pray as we go this morning, Lord, that your presence would not be far from us because we have continued to pray. That we will continue to read our word and that we will continue to believe for miracles. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We will not live by this world's standard. We will live by yours, Lord God. In Jesus' name.